I read verses 1 through 15. I titled the message, Daniel, a Politician of Integrity. I thought that sounded better than Daniel was not alive, as so many of our politicians do today. Of course, the objective of the message is, as I said, that we need to beware of our own lying and flattery. Follow along as I read. He pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first or the foremost, that the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, here's the flattery, dear Darius, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdoms, the governors and the princes, the counselors, the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. Well, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they, said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Father, we all remember the story of Daniel being thrown in the lion's den, but we often forget about the liars who got him thrown there. Lord, if we're getting caught up in lying to get our way or to bend the truth, may this message speak to our hearts that you are a God who desires integrity in all of your children. Bless us, O God, we pray. For Christ's sake, amen. You may be seated. Now, this message will have a little bit of political overtones. I cannot help that because Daniel is a politician here. I don't know if you heard, but it's been in the news that our Congress is far behind where it should be in the number of days that it's worked in Washington, D.C. on the people's business. And yet every year Congress recesses for the month of August. Wouldn't you just love to have a month off from your regular job? It's kind of interesting. They're not even doing their job. And they're getting paid by the taxes of us, you know, the people. And they still get a month off. Now, I understand that some of the reasons for that have to do that they go home and meet with their constituents. But soon these politicians will be campaigning for votes in November for the midterm elections to keep their seats in the House. Soon enough, these politicians will be slugging it out in the political arena, and the media will have a heyday digging up all the dirt that they can find, especially on the conservatives. Lies seem to be the weapon of the day. Not only to ruin politicians, but good judges. And also, in the secular realm, just the good reputation of people. Let us make a commitment not to emulate what we're seeing in the world. It's all around us. And if we're not careful, we'll get caught up in it. If we're not careful, we'll adopt this way of manipulation to get our way at work, in our families, and yes, even in the church. As Paul said, it should not even be mentioned once in the house of God. We know that politics today is a really, really messy, messy thing. And I think we're getting pretty accustomed to the dishing out and the slinging of the dirt. But folks, things are getting really visceral. And that is dangerous. And we ought to be praying for our country that we can agree to disagree in love and not develop hate for people to the point where we will lie. It wasn't much different in Daniel's day. Maybe it was a little worse, as you read with me. When these politicians knew they couldn't get Daniel out of the way, they plotted to kill him. I don't think we're quite there yet, and I hope we never get there. Daniel had been in public service for almost 65 years, and his worst enemies could not find anything to use against him. You saw that. Wouldn't you like to vote for somebody like that? That they get nominated or they get elected, and as they run for the office, there's nothing against their character. Get a little of that. Where are these people? Isn't that the question on some of your minds? Now, everybody knows the story of Daniel in the lion's den, but how did Daniel get into that lion's den to begin with? That's the focus of my sermon this morning, as I mentioned during prayer. Prior to Daniel being cast to those lions, he was dealing with the liars. So I guess we could say that Daniel was first tossed in the liar's den. L-I-A-R-S. And the reason for that is Daniel was to be promoted to the first president. They didn't want him there. He was too much of a man of integrity. He was too much of a man of God. And folks, that's where we live today in our society. That's why I picked this passage. Because if you're working in a secular job, and you're doing the very best that you can to live your values and your morals. You're not one that goes into work and takes the name of the Lord. You're not one who goes into work and steals office supplies. You're not one who work who's creating discord and gossip. And they all look at you like, you're the evil person. Am I right? Do I get an amen? Do I get a witness? That's what's happening. Don't succumb to it. Daniel is a perfect example. Verses 1 to 3, pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which would be over the whole kingdom. This was his administration. Isn't it wonderful that someday you and I are going to be part of the administration of Jesus Christ for 1,000 years? I often wonder where the Lord's going to have me. Hope he has me pastoring a church. He may not. May have something better. Who knows? But there were 120 of these princes, and they were given assignments over the territory. And it makes good sense. Over these, there were three presidents, of whom Daniel was the top-notch guy, that the princes might give account unto them, that the king would have no doubt. In other words, if the administration of the king would go well, wouldn't be any uprising of the people, and there wouldn't be any embezzling of the taxes, because that was part of the job. And guess who King Darius wants to put at the realm of this whole business? Daniel. But these dirty, corrupt politicians of Darius, they didn't want him there, because they couldn't dip their hand into the till with Daniel watching, because he was a man of God. How many of you are held back from sharing what you think would really work at your job because you understand that what you're promoting is a biblical principle? I mean, not that you're out there giving chapter and verse, but you understand this is God's way, this is the best way, and they shoot you down. Well, be encouraged. They shot Daniel down too. But praise the good Lord that God's your Heavenly Father. And He has your best interests at heart. It is believed that Darius the Mede ruled Babylon. You remember the kingdom or empire that came on the scene under King Nebuchadnezzar, the great Babylonian Empire. Well, that fell to the Medes and the Persians. And Babylon then was under the authority of Cyprus, who was a Persian. Ancient Babylonian texts refer to him as the governor of Babylon. Not the president or the king, but the governor. He watched over it. Because now Babylon belonged to the empire of the Medes and the Persians. And as you read with me, Darius set up 120 administrators to help him rule in Babylon. This happened around 538 BC. So there is this multiplicity of leaders. And then the Bible tells us that Darius, he placed three presidents, or commissioners, if you will, over them. And they were to supervise the work of these officials, and as I mentioned earlier, even in the collecting of taxes. But Daniel's promotion was not without difficulty and challenges. He was a man of God. And the king wanted a man like him because he knew of his integrity. It wasn't long until the other rulers turned against Daniel. Now, it may have been spawned by envy. You know, I wanted that position. You know, that kind of a thing. I deserve it. Many of us get caught up in that, thinking that we deserve something that wasn't given to us. And maybe you do. But to begin to use the tools and the weapons of Satan against a person is ungodly. We don't have a right to adopt the world's ways to get our way. Daniel's rise to power under Darius did not rest upon the remarkable accomplishments of his past, and there were many. He was an interpreter of dreams, and he helped on many occasions various empires. We are told Daniel became distinguished among the commissioners, the governors, and the king because he had an extraordinary spirit. Verse 3, then, this Daniel was preferred, considered above the presidents and the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. Spirit of God. Wasn't in an indwelling work of the Holy Spirit. We're studying about Holy Spirit on Wednesday night, because that didn't happen until the day of Pentecost. But Daniel is much like Joseph here, isn't he? And everything that Joseph put his hand to, whether he was in the prison, in Potiphar's house, or as the prince of Egypt, God bless. Why? Because he was a man with an excellent spirit. Meaning, he was a man who was given to trust in the power of Almighty God. Daniel is that man. Darius recognized not only Daniel's wisdom, but his integrity and his faithfulness. Here was a man that he could trust in a leadership position who would not cost him loss, would not stab him in the back, would not be stealing behind the scene. And I think that's what drove all of these other politicians against Daniel. They wanted him out of the way. He was too goody of a two-shoe for them. The contents of verse 3 supplies the reason for their distress. You read it with me. That the king saw that he was a man of an excellent spirit, a man of character, a man with good morals. The king was aware that with all these leaders, he couldn't tell who had their hand, as it were, in the till. But he knew that Daniel would not. If he were to rise above them, they could not continue in their corruption. He didn't want Daniel there. If he gets put in this position, if he rises above to this place of ruling, we're not going to be able to get the king's attention when we want it, to do what we want. And we're not going to be able to steal behind the king's back. Daniel, I think, is proof that you can live a godly life amidst corruption. And believe me, a lot of it out there today. There's a lot of hostility towards you as a believer, even as a conservative. But I'm here to tell you, because the Bible says you can achieve success without compromising your values, your morals, and your biblical principles. I'm not saying go to work and wear it on your sleeve. People don't like that. It's better that you live a sermon than you preach one. Save the preaching for the pulpit. Amen? You can be a success in business, even as a politician, if you are a person of honesty and integrity, because God will bless it. Now, some of you might be here and go, yeah, but I was that and God didn't bless. Maybe what you were looking for isn't what God knew would be best for you. You ever think of that? You got to come back to your faithfulness in God and trust in God, trusting with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. God knows that for some of us, if we were promoted into certain positions, it would be the ruination of our lives. Or at least the ruination of our spirit. God has your best interests at heart. But I'm here to tell you that you can be a success in whatever business you're in if you'll put Christ as the head of your business. I told you a while back, if you've ever read J.C. Penney's book, that's what he did. He became very ill, depressed, mentally sick. But he got saved and he said for the rest of his life he would give the Lord first place in all that he does, and especially in his business. By the way, J.C. Penney excelled until he died, didn't it? Now it's going down the tubes. This idea that you have to cheat, you have to lie, you have to steal to be successful in the world which you live today, it is sinful. Again, I understand sometimes people get caught up in this. But again, we don't bring God's level of holiness down to our level of unrighteousness. But isn't that what the world's doing? We're going to bring God right down here and he's just like one of us. You saw what happened when David decided to move the Ark of the Covenant, which was synonymous with the very presence of God's Shekinah glory. He took for granted that God's ways are man's ways. It is not. You know, if this concept is true, that you have to lie, and you have to cheat, and you have to steal, and you got to ruin somebody else's life, then no Christian should want the accolades of society that much that he or she would sell out their convictions for such a status or position. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 10, and there are many other verses as good references to this truth, but I think this cuts to the chase. Solomon said in chapter 10, verse 2, treasures of wickedness profit nothing. So if you go about acquiring success and treasures because of wicked things, don't expect God to bless it. And a lot of times you hear, oh, God is blessing me. Look at how God's blessing me. And you know, not that you're standing in judgment, but you know the individual, the person is wicked, a liar, a thief. And yet they're throwing around, look how God is blessing me. You know, when you see that, you got to come to understand it isn't God that's blessing them, they're blessing themselves. It'd be far better to get a blessing from God. Solomon went on, because in Proverbs, you know, there's two sides of the coin, as it were. That's the way the poetry goes, because it is poetry. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing. But the opposite side, or the parallel side, is righteousness delivers from destruction or death. Amen? Now, Daniel was promoted, and because of that, he faced adversity, verses 4 to 9. Daniel's honesty and integrity will cause him to suffer. And I'm here to tell you that if you're suffering because of your righteousness, because of your faith, the writer of Hebrews and Peter also, and Paul and James, all said, count it joy that you suffer for righteousness than for unrighteousness. Amen? Because what's happening to you is exactly what happened to your master, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And we participate in his suffering as well as in his joy. In verse 4, they saw an occasion against Daniel. You read it with me, but they couldn't find none. His work is such that not even his enemies can bring a charge against him. His flawless faithfulness to the king and his obedience to the law of the land forces his enemies to pass a new law aimed directly at him for his demise, because they couldn't find any other fault. The only fault that they could find with Daniel is that he was a man of God. And these den of liars began their conspiracy. Sometimes there are people in this world who are unsaved, they just don't like you because you have a spirit of righteousness. Amen? You have a godly spirit. And you know what? Your very presence repels them. Don't take it personal. I've been there, trust me. I wasn't always a pastor. Okay? I worked out in the secular world till I was 35, and even beyond that for a few years. And I understand it. In fact, I could tell when I got to talking to somebody, and they picked up on the fact that when I talked, I wouldn't return the curses that they were giving to me. And then they start backing off, you know, looking at you like you're strange. Like you're somebody from outer space. But beware, because this is the day and age that we're going to be living in as we get closer and closer and closer to the rapture of the church. But rejoice, we're coming back. And you know, I read the last chapter. I know who wins. I know who King Jesus is going to put as administrators throughout the entire world. It's not going to be the children of Satan. It's going to be the children of God. And we're going to reign with the Lord Jesus for 1,000 years. Where will you be an administrator. If you're resorting to lying, cheating, if you're resorting to flattery to get your way, deceit, God cannot honor that. So the den of liars, these evil politicians, you know, politicians haven't changed much, have they? We read this and go, wow. And I do believe it was a little bit worse here because they could kill you. Or they would plot your demise. I mean, we know that even emperors and kings were murdered to get the throne, to get the power, to be able to put their hand in the till. And so they conspire to keep Daniel from the promotion that the king planned to carry out in the near future. Daniel surpasses them in wisdom. Daniel surpasses them in character. Daniel surpasses them in favor to the king. Because the king knows in his heart of hearts, this man will not harm me or the kingdom. Would to God we have some leaders in our country that would adopt that philosophy. Because you deserve to have a leader like that. Amen? You work hard for your money. And then they take your money and they do ungodly things. It's sad what's happening today. That's why we need revival. Revival can change the face of a nation. But God's people got to believe it first and foremost. Amen? Daniel surprised them with his wisdom and with his actions. He didn't do anything different than he did any other day. Why? Because he was a man of God. These politicians are skilled in corruption, and they saw an end to their position and their profits. If this Daniel gets put over all of us, we're never going to get anything over his eyes. Amen? So we got to get rid of them. Now, I hope really truly in my heart that none of you can relate to these politicians, that you have never acted like this. To get your way, you lie, you cheat, you steal, you backstab. Because you know what? That's the characteristics of the child of the world. That is not the characteristic of the child of God. Daniel was the only Jew among them, and they tried to oust him from office by passing a new law forbidding anyone to pray to any god except the king for 30 days. Now, I hope you picked it up in the way I was reading it. It was satirical. Because these men were not honest. They went to flatter the king. Oh, king, live forever. It's a normal saying in that day. But they didn't care about the king. Oh, king, nobody should be thinking about anybody else and praying to anybody but you, oh, king. Doesn't it make you sick? And so they conspire by pouring flattery onto the king. Verse 6, then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king. Now that word assembled is used a number of times in this passage. And I have to clarify for precise understanding. When we assemble, we generally assemble peacefully. We generally assemble in a orderly fashion. But it's interesting, the Aramaic verb, and by the way, this is one of the parts of the Bible that's written in Aramaic. First we have Hebrew, a little Aramaic, and then Greek. And the Hebrew word in every case is the word ragash. Now it does mean to gather, but not like you think. The English word doesn't carry the same weight as the Arabic word. Because the Arabic word carries the idea that they came together in a riotous throng. They came in a tumultuous manner. They were angry. So every time you see that verse, a word rather, in the verse assembled together to the king, they're coming together in a riotous spirit. And all the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captain consulted together to establish a royal statue. And here's where the flattery comes in. Oh, let's make a decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, except you, King Darius, because we love you so much. Flattery. Deceit. Let it not be named among the children of God. The den of liars begin now their evil work. They can't find anything against Daniel, so they conjure up a law that they know they'll get him on. They resort to two of the oldest weapons in the devil's toolbox. I've already named the first one, and that's flattery. Be careful of using flattery. In fact, let me show you a verse in Proverbs. Keep your finger there. Go to Proverbs. And let's go to Proverbs 29. Now, I wouldn't have had this verse, but every day I read from the book of Proverbs according to what day it is. Today is the 29th. And often I look from God for a word to authenticate, to substantiate where a preacher is going to be. And look what I read in verse 5. A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. You get it, right? Don't use flattery to entrap somebody or to have them at your beck and claw, as it were. God knows when we use flattery. Because flattery is being dishonest. We're not being genuine. If we're telling somebody in a disingenuous spirit something about them, and we're doing it for ulterior motive, God's not happy with that. And definitely God's not happy with it if we're using it to bring somebody down. Folks, I'm here to tell you, God don't like ugly. But sometimes even the children of God resort to using ugly. Because we think we're smarter than the rest of these Christians. We'll just adopt worldly ways. You will have to answer to God for that. These men did not get away with their deceit and their lies. And we'll show you that real quick at the end. I think most of you know the story, obviously, of Daniel and the lion's den. So they assemble in this tumultuous matter. And they use flattery to distract the king. They made him a god for 30 days. They insisted the decree of the laws and Medes has to be written because it cannot be revoked. It cannot be reversed. Envy can get its foot in the door and be divisive and harmful in business, but definitely in the ministry. You know, it's amazing how God sometimes will lift somebody up. They're doing a good work for the Lord, and God blesses them, and God raises them up. And then other people's hearts burn in rage and jealousy and bitterness. Even when the individual hasn't done really anything wrong. And maybe they do make a mistake in ignorance, and we just want to slam them. Sometimes we take the side of the world over our own brethren. Do you know the Bible rebukes us for that? Paul said that we're supposed to love all men, but especially those of the household of faith. Do I get an amen?
Amen.
You need to look out for one another first. Because God has commanded in His Word that we do so. Yes, we're to love the unsaved. Because only love will bring them into God's fold. Daniel remained faithful even amidst his persecution, and I encourage you to do it. And I encourage you to remember the sermon, because maybe not today you're being placed on trial, as it were, or tempted, but that day can come. The king himself wanted to change the law, but he couldn't, because the laws of the Medes and Persians couldn't be revoked. There was no way to revoke them once they were written. And Daniel knew his needs, and that God met his needs every day. He'll meet your needs every day. Remember to pray that way. It's our Father who art in heaven. We go to God. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day what? Our daily bread. Every day we ought to go, God, thank you for another day. Bless this day. Give me guidance, O Father. Meet my needs. And that's what Daniel did. And just because there was a new law, he didn't stop what he knew to do. Daniel was a Jew, and as a Jew, he could only worship and pray to Jehovah God. And he did. 3 times a day. We know that from the passage. And Daniel would always pray towards Jerusalem. This meant that his window would probably be open and he would be visible when he prayed. He would pray publicly in defiance of the law of the Medes and Persians, because this was who he was. And when his critics saw this, they ran to the king, because this was the entrapment. Flattery, snare, or trap. We got the king to do what we wanted through flattery and deceit. We lied on Daniel. Now we got Daniel ready to be thrown into the lion's den. Accusing a man of the king's favor was dangerous, by the way, and I don't have time to get into that. But they began by asking the king about the law which he had just put into effect. So they had him, didn't they? They coerced him. And he tried to get Daniel out of this. The Bible says to the king, verse 14, when he heard these words, he was sore displeased. He realized he'd been had. He's been had. These guys, they stabbed me in the back. And he then began to set his heart. And the wording there means he was burdened in his heart for Daniel. He didn't want to put Daniel to death. He labored till the going down of the sun, the Bible says. It means he worked all day to do what he could. He couldn't reverse the decree. And then these men assembled. There's that word assembled again. And when they came this time, they were really in a tumultuous mood. Where is he? We want to throw him to the lions. Who's that remind you of? Daniel is a type of Christ. Who do you want me to free? Jesus or Barabbas? Barabbas! Crucify the Christ! Daniel had broken a law of the Medes and Persians, and because it was irrevocable, the king couldn't do anything about it. He was ordered to be thrown into the den of lions. These men used flattery, false witness, and lies to murder a man. That's really what it comes down to. Do you know, again, the Bible in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 16, and verse 16 and verse 19. It says there that God hates certain things. These 6 things that the Lord hates, yea, 7 are an abomination unto him, and one of them is a false witness that speaketh what? Lies. He said, but they got away with it. You don't get away with it with God. You may get away with it with man. Here was a perfectly righteous man. Not sinless. Only Jesus was sinless. I'm almost done. Please stay with me just for another minute. The Lord Jesus was perfectly perfect. He did no sin. Neither was there guile found in his mouth. And throughout the New Testament, we see no man convicted him of sin. Various men throughout the New Testament declared that the Lord Jesus Christ was righteous, innocent, holy, harmless, separated from sin, and yet they hated him and wanted to kill him. And so we have a parallel here between Daniel of the Old Testament and Christ. Daniel is a type or illustration of the Savior. And not only does Jesus, our Savior, connect the Old Testament with the New, He Himself is the connection between the two. The message is always the same. The redemption of man. Did you know the whole Bible? Old and New is the story of the redemption of humanity through the person of God's only begotten Son. That's the whole story of the Bible. And Jesus connects them both together. Probably no other book in the New Testament explains and makes this connection better than the book of Hebrews. In fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that God speaks to us at sundry times and in divers matters spake He in times past of the fathers by the prophets, but now, in this day, the New Testament has, He in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He has appointed for of all things, by whom also He made the world. I don't know that right now, but maybe we ought to have a verse-by-verse expository study of the book of Hebrews sometime in the near future. We did it a while ago in prayer meeting to a handful of people. Maybe we need to bring it over on a Sunday morning. Because we need to understand that the Old Testament is relevant for today. Yes, we're not under the ceremonial laws, and yes, we're under grace, but there is much there in the Old Testament that points to Jesus Christ. Daniel is one of them, amen? Are you involved in doing things that you know displease God? You're lying. You're trying to do things the world's way because that's what you have been inundated with. Why don't you try it God's way, like Daniel? Don't get caught up in the rage of anger because somebody got promoted over you, or jealousy, or bitterness. Remember, the next time that you begin to feel this jealousy and begin to lie, lying lips are an abomination unto the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. Be His delight. Be God's delight. He'll bless you. He'll fight your battles for you. Can you prove that, Pastor? Yes, and I'm going to close. Go to Daniel 6:24, and we're done. The king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Daniel was cast in, and he had to stay there all night. That's kind of interesting to me, because when they cast this crowd in, they didn't even hit the floor, and the lions tore into them and killed them. But Daniel told King Darius, "I'm okay. God has sent His angel." Amen. Praise God that He has guardian angels watching over His children. Yes, I know that bad things happen to God's people, but God will always have an angel there. Carries through. So I don't know if I have an angel. Well, maybe you're not saved. Maybe today you ought to accept Christ as your Savior. That you can have the righteousness of God that I have talked about. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, You know our souls. You know those of us who are truly Your children. You know that there may even be some among the weak that are tares. Save them, O God, from themselves, from adopting the ways of the world to get the accolades of today. Father, if there's anybody here who cannot say for sure if they die to go to heaven, that right now I pray that they would confess to You they're a sinner, and they acknowledge Jesus Christ came in the flesh to die for their sin. Yes, for the whole world, but may they take it today personally that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, died in their place to redeem them because You, our Father, love us so very much. May they acknowledge the debt that Christ paid for them and the resurrection of Your Son to justify them in your holy eyes. Save that soul that may be nearest hell. For us who are your children, as we embark upon a week of revival, do business with us. Take from us lying lips. Take from us flattery. Take from us bitterness and jealousy and envy. Clean us up, Father, that we could be tools used for the kingdom of God. Bless these dear folks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's take our songbook and let's sing this hymn with resolve. No matter where you are, God loves you. And He knows the trials and the tribulation and even the sin in your life. He wants to help you. Jesus loves you. 336. Yes, Jesus loves even me.